Susha Pravishaitam
Susha Pravishaitam
Om Jaitam Jagat Savam
Jaitam Jagat Savam
Govinda Vidaye Name
Govinda Vidaye Name
Ashlishya Vaparalatam
Ashlishya Vaparalatam
Ashlishya va padaratam pinashtumam
Ashlishya va padaratam pinashtumam
Adarshanam mamahatam karotuva
Adarshanam mamahatam karotuva
Yathatatava vidadatulam pato
Yathatatava vidadatulam pato
Tastu Saivana Pada
Tastu Saivana Pada
Shri Shikshastakam Ki Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vistaya Purkale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vacharine
Nirvishesha-sunyavadi paschatyadeshatayini
Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya
Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Vedanta Shri Vasari Gauravakarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Shri Krishna Sankirtan ki
Jai
Premanandi So Hare Krishna. So nice to see all of you. Hope you had a restful night as much as it is possible. This morning I woke up. There was a devotee sweetly chanting, and I looked at it. Was our Kumarishaya Vishwakarma walking by the Adriatic Sea, singing nicely the holy names in the tune I believe which Prabhupada used to chant. The retreat has, from our side, that means the organizational side and the presenters, the kirtaniyas, and so come to an end. But as I always like to tell my the participants in the retreat, now we start the Japa and Kirtan retreat part 2, and I personally believe that it is the more important part of the retreat. I would like to give you a little summary of what this retreat was all about, and then encourage you to do what I personally believe is most important. For this retreat, we took Bhajan Rahasya as our guideline. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the illustrious son of the author of this guideline, has written a foreword where he describes that he saw his own father chanting very carefully according to this guideline. He says, Bhaktisiddhanta, this Sri Bhajan Rahasya is compiled by Srimad Bhaktivinoda Thakura. In the form of this book, he has given a hint of his own method of bhajan, of worship, so that his sincere followers may have a guideline. A few years before, This Akinshana, he refers to himself, carefully observed him reciting the shlokas mentioned in this book, and at the same time he was relishing overwhelming ecstatic love of Godhead. So how exactly is this process of bhajan rahasya functioning, and what could we learn from it? The bhajan rahasya is based on the 8 instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These instructions are timeless. These instructions comprise really the whole essence of what Gauranga Mahaprabhu had to say. They are, this is the only work which is directly ascribed to the authorship of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada said that while the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is the 6 Goswamis, wrote a vast library of transcendental literature, Gauranga Mahaprabhu only gave 8 instructions. Shiksha means instructions, and Ashtakam is referring to a poem with 8 verses. These are 8 instructive verses, in other words. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur was sitting in his place in Godrum, Dvipen, and he was chanting these 8 verses regularly. And as he was chanting them, he entered into the secret of these verses and then found many other verses in the Bhagavatam and other scriptures, which he discovered, so to say, within these 8 verses. It is said that in the sacred syllable Om, the whole Vedic scriptures are included. If you want to say it all in one syllable, we want to say what is stated in the Bhagavatam, in the Gita, in the Rig, Yajur, Atava, and Sama Veda. If you want to express it all, you just need to say Om. And if you would know how to chant this syllable Om, you would actually discover within this syllable Om the whole Vedic literature. Now, I must tell you that you have heard this already, but I think it's good if you look at this a little bit more. How in something there can be a huge treasure house of information which unfolds to the qualified person. I heard that Madhvacharya is giving, by his own life example, a good example. Madhvacharya, as a child, would always avoid the school. He would go somewhere and sit under a tree, and he would say later that, yeah, well, you must know Madhvacharya is an Acharya. His knowledge of the Vedic scriptures was vast. And people would ask him, how have you learned? We don't see that you have taken any formal training. And Madhvacharya said, when I was a child, I sat under the tree and I heard the wind making a sound with the leaves of the tree. And from that, I don't know the English word, in German it would be Rauschen. This what do tree leaves do? From the rustle. Thank you. Thank you. You are a master of the English language. From the rustling of the wind in the tree, from that sound, he heard the Vedic scriptures. Now, if you would do this, the first thing is you would fall asleep, and the second thing is you would not hear anything. You would only hear your mind. Because you are not really, we are not Madhvacharya, let us express it in a positive way. But the idea which I would really like to give is the idea of personal discovery. This idea of personal discovery is most probably what I would like to give you in this Japa retreat. Perhaps some of you have expected, I come to the Japa retreat and I will be now an enlightened, God-intoxicated saint. Perhaps you have expected when you came to the Japa retreat that significant levels of love of God have reached you. Perhaps you have expected that you would be dancing now in bliss out of the hall, but instead you feel sorry that you leave the place. My dear devotees, what you have been given is suggestions and guidelines from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which are meant to set you on a path of your own personal discovery. A spiritual life always has to be and is a path of personal discovery. Look at the wonderful story of Gokumar in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. I think we have heard it many times. The story has never failed to touch us at the deepest core of our heart. Look at the story of his personal quest for enlightenment. Or look at my role model, Narada Muni. Narada Muni's life in brief here, I mean, the stations in his life which I want to explain in these concluding words is heart touching. He was a little boy, the son of a maid. He must have observed his mother going into the house of the master and doing cleaning services and other servant related things like maybe shopping, sabjis for the kitchen of the master and so on. This was a widowed mother. His father, Narada Muni, had not seen much of his father because he died at a young age. Now, a wonderful transformative effect happened in his life when the four great saints, the four Bhaktivedantas, came to the house of Narada Muni's mother and stayed there during the 4 months of the rainy seasons. And Narada Muni was able to serve them. He regularly brought their food to them, and he heard some of their discussions as a little boy. Once, when he was very hungry, he took the remnants from their prasadam, and as he ate what was left by these great souls, some say it were the four Kumaras, somehow he developed the urge to go on the path of Krishna consciousness and leave his house. But when he told his mother, the mother said, "Please don't leave me. Your father has left me already. You are all I have. Please stay. Study." So he could not go and follow his yearning. One day, Narada Muni was at that time around, was still very young, either 8 or 12 years, the number, these two numbers I've heard. He was in the house when a neighbor came to him and said, "My dear son, I have to talk with you." He sat him down and said, "We have found your mother this morning." The little boy looked at the face of this man. "Now please don't cry," said the man. "It will happen to all of us, sooner or later, by the mercy of the Lord." "What happened to my mother?" asked Narada Muni. "You talk differently than you talk on normal days." So the man told him, "We found your mother. She was dead. And there was a sign of snake bite that we saw, the black cobra disappearing in the jungle when you killed your mother." Imagine what this does for a little boy. Ooh! Then the villagers brought Muni's mother home. And now listen what Narada Muni said. "Of course he was sad. Of course it was not so easy for him to do the funeral rites. He was the only son. He had to do the funeral rites. But listen what he did. He understood every one of us has to die. My mother has died. I will go and search for my Lord, because he can grant us fearlessness and immunity from death." And what he did is, this is not really very often known, he took, he had to cremate his mother, on a funeral pyre, but Narada Muni was different. He took a torch and he lit the very house in which he had grown up, the very house in which his dead mother was now lying on the stretcher. And he lit the house and ran out and indicating to the whole village, "I will not stay here. I have burned my home. I will now go and find the one with a thousand names. I will not return. I will either fight him or there will be no hope for me." So then this boy was so determined, after having seen the reality of material life, that we all died, that he walked and walked, and it is said he received a mantra by Lord Shiva, who met him. Finally he came to end his journeys under a tree. He chanted that Gopa mantra which he had received, and as he chanted, listen to this, he first heard the tinkling of the bells of Samadhi. Maybe yesterday you also heard this. I remember Dharmagupta, he said, "Maybe you hear the tinkling of the bells, the ones where now our dances, which is in the back." So this is very an Udipan. For those who are Vaishnavas, when they hear tinkling of the bells, they always hope it's hopefully the one dancer who invites us, "Come and dance with me." Wonderful. Yes, come and dance with me. So then the next thing he heard, he heard the sound of the flute. And then the third thing which he heard was, he smelled the fragrance of Lord Krishna. And as he was meditating, the Lord came dancing with his tinkling ankle bells, playing on his flute, and spreading the most beautiful fragrance. He came into the heart of Narada Muni. And after some time, the Lord left him. Narada Muni came out of his meditation, out of his Krishna Samadhi, if you so want, with a start. He looked around. There was no Lord. He tried to meditate again. Maybe he has done the mudra of Chandamuni Maharaj for better concentration. But no matter what he tried, the Lord was not coming to him by this mechanical process. Instead, he heard something which I would like you to also hear. The Lord said, because you are not yet pure in your intelligence, I request you to search for me. The idea of the quest, this search, the personal discovery is again made. You shall sing the holy name, and you shall, I will come to you in the form of sound. So my dear devotees, I come now to my point. I'm sorry, I'm a little long-winded, but when you talk about these things, you just want to talk in detail. This is what you have to take home. You have learned some techniques. You have hopefully had some moments where things became more clear to you. You have hopefully been touched at times by the wonderful kirtan, by what you saw on the screen. Maybe yesterday you thought, okay, it was a struggle, but it was a good struggle for me. You hopefully have been touched. Now the time comes for you to go on your personal quest. Spiritual things will always remain a matter of your personal discovery. As much as I would like to see you in the upcoming retreats, I would prefer for your own life that you don't become a retreat junkie. In other words, that you make yourself dependent on what others try to present for your enlightenment. With these retreats, especially this one, I hope to give you an impulse, an impetus, an inner drive, an inner desire to go deep into your personal kirtan and japa process. I would like to tell you something from my own life, because sometimes in spiritual circles, personal example speaks most properly in the loudest possible way to you. See, to tell you very honestly, it is not always easy for me to be in the Hare Krishna movement, because by my own personal inclinations, I like to go the lonely path. I'm not a man of big groups. I never was. Even as a child, I would play alone and climb trees alone and not be a man of the masses. When I was a young boy, I never could go into the center of towns where the walking streets, where my classmates stood around showing their new t-shirts and talking with the girls and going in the discos. I would always go in a circle around where the masses came. But because I know that Prabhupada, who is my exalted spiritual master, wishes his older disciples to preach and to help the younger ones, I'm very dedicated and committed to preach in this movement. It is by his mercy and by his desire that I'm doing this. And as I'm trying to satisfy him, Prabhupada seems to be satisfied, like the last day, yesterday. In the morning he again appeared in my dream, and he was smiling, and he said, you please continue this service. So I have an instruction, and you know there's nothing more fulfilling in life when you know that your life is in harmony with a greater mission than your own desire. There's nothing more satisfying than this. So, yes, I am personally committed to teach this, but I need to now tell you something which you need to know. My dear devotees, all of you have an own private personal path to God. That is always, you have to become Krishna conscious. It's just like eating. I can't eat for you. You have to eat yourself for yourself. Huh? Or breathing. No one can breathe for you. But you have to do it on your own. Or doing exercises. When you go to yoga class, because you feel, my God, I'm not moving, my circulation has stopped and I'm becoming ill and so on, and maybe I do need some exercises. You can't sit on the side and watch the others sweating. You have to get on your yoga mat and do the exercise on your own. Eating, even sleeping, breathing, exercising, and living has to be done by us. So chanti also has to be done by you. You, even when you are in a huge group of chanters, it is up to you to finally collect your mind, to the Ketaniyas always say, now if you sing from your heart. What they really say is, now, please take your mind from everything else. Just go inside, find your own feelings for Krishna, and chant this. And that is what chanting from the heart means. Huh? It's very important. Prabhupada has so much given stress on this. He gave this example that birds may fly together in a flock, but even though this gives them strength, a lot of strength, a bird couldn't fly alone. Do you know this? When the migrating bird starts in Sweden and ends his journey in Africa, because it's too cold in the winter in Sweden, he couldn't make the journey alone. He needs to be encouraged by the other gooses who are flying in front of him. That is scientifically proven. They've tried to send a goose who has flown many times from Sweden to Africa on its own. The goose couldn't do it. It needed the company. But it needed to fly also. There are you know, imagine the goose says, okay, I stop. And he falls on the ground, and he will hurt himself, if not died, you know. So that is very important for us to state. I really want to request you to do one thing. When you are home and you have rested a little bit, please take time. Go to a secluded area. Read maybe a little bit so that you can feel the company of Prabhupada in your heart, and then make a determined effort to chant. If you are not willing to do this second part, and you're expecting a japa retreat to do this for you, then you will not really be fully fulfilled by your experience. You will only have, hopefully, had a few highlights in your retreat. And please look in your journal what you have written there. These are powerful stuff which you have written it after some exercises. And your letters to Krishna, my God, I have seen a few. They are so written from an exalted state of Krishna consciousness. But now it is very important that you do this personal practice, especially after this retreat. In this retreat, we wanted to try to show to you this personal form of bhajan which Bhaktivinoda Thakur did and which will also help you
to go onward.
Hare Krishna, Dobro Yutra.
Oh, what a shining star. You were such a good actor yesterday in the Radha London Ishwara. You should apply, you know, Hollywood, you know, and write a script for them. You know. Maybe Mahabharata. A little while ago, some years, maybe now 5 years, I was in a very critical situation because I had a surgery where I almost died, and after that I was not okay when the hospital released me, and I needed to take half a year time out, and I went into the mountains because it's cool there, and I read Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I read it very, very carefully. I read sometimes paragraphs 5 times. It's a work where Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the nectar of the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a very, very substantial work. And there he has a chapter where he says, those who aspire for love of Godhead, they should chant in this way. And then he gives instructions, and I read it, and I was so inspired that I sat down and took the core of these instructions to form a book called Nam Rahasya. Maybe some of you know about this book. And I wrote this book because I wanted to collect my own. I wanted to come to a place which would help me in my own spiritual life. See, I was not preaching to anyone there. I was alone in the mountains in a cottage, and something which I always wanted to do as a child. But I wanted to be in Krishna consciousness there. So I deeply wrote about the points which I found in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book in order to reflect on my own these points. And I started the book with a quotation from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said, there comes a time when the soul awakes. At that time the soul says to the mind and the body, I'm not identical with you. I do not want what you want, body and mind. I have long believed that I was identical with both of you, and that we shared the same interest. But no, no, no. Now I find that I am categorically different from you. I am made wholly from the principle of self-consciousness. He says he is a soul. Huh? While both of you are made of dead matter, I refuse to be a slave anymore. I want to follow now the interest of the soul. My dear devotees, this momentum has to come to all of you. I personally believe you only need to do one thing. You need to put in your life, you need to find a button. It's there. It's called the rewind button. Go back in time to those moments where you can be feeling this. I refuse to be a slave of you any longer, body and mind. I want to follow the interest of the soul. And we have made it a little easy for you, this rewind button. It's in your japa journal. You just need to go and see what you wrote after a few of those exercises, and you will see things like, "Oh Krishna, I have forgotten you, but I really only want you." I looked yesterday in my journal and I found beautiful things, you know, which were there. I thought, "My, that's me? I didn't know that I'm so Krishna conscious. I thought I'm a Maya all the time." I saw things, you know, that I have said. Although I'm disqualified, Radha Krishna, please come into my heart and drive away that ignorance which has taken possession of my life. Give me that sincere desire for you. Oh my God, this worked. The japa retreat worked for me at least. My rhythm is. So press on rewind. And then go to these beautiful places which came when you were a little bit more free from ignorance and where the real desires of the soul emerged from the bottom of your heart. It's very good. And then pray to the Lord, "Hey Krishna, ruchi bhavatu me. Oh Krishna, please may I develop taste for you." Bhajan Rahasya comes in the form of a lotus, and we have it here. It's the 8 verses, Yukshastaka 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and as you chant them, you are supposed to go deeper and deeper and deeper until you discover the rustling of the leaf. Until you discover how everything is in the Om, or to say it now to you, until you discover how everything is in the holy name, use this Bhajan Rahasya and the guideline where you reflect upon the verses, where you reflect upon the moods like Shraddha, and finally where you reflect upon the Leela. This is what the devotees say. There are some. When Raghunath Das Goswami chants, he sits down, chants, and he goes this road of absorption until finally in his heart he sees Radha and Krishna. Radha is in the forest and Hare! And she attracts Krishna to also join her in the forest. And Krishna, it's a whole Leela he sees as he chants. Because he has learned, but he is on the path of personal discovery. Now to help you in your own personal discovery, I want to give you 5 little steps. And if you follow them, I can guarantee you, you will discover something. This is, in essence, what I wanted to teach to you. And if you want to make notes, you can do it now. If you don't have materials to take notes, don't worry. We have our talented Sharanagati team. One of the members is preparing the newsletter for you, the Amritavani newsletter from this retreat. Here are the 5 points. The first is, when you sit down and chant, take just a little time and tell to yourself that this mantra which you are now chanting is non-different from Krishna. It's very important that you do this, that you sit down, because you have to chant with affectionate respect. This is how Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. If you chant like, or like that Johnny from London, what's his name?
Japaras.
Japaras from London, who sat in the comfortable chair, and he had his iPhone going on, fully equipped with all technology. He might have done social networking with the iPhone, so Krishna Krishna and so on. It will not work for you. So you have to sit down and, you know, bring yourself to the place. Krishna is not different from the name. If you chant like Japaras, what a name. If you chant the iPhone phoning, this clicker, you know the clicker, do you know for what this clicker is originally used? It's a device for hunters. When they, you know, after I'm doing research on everything, you know. It was used, it came up when you know, there is something where they hunt ducks, enter, bang. So when they have done one, they made one. Then again, bang. Two. Why do they need to count? Priya says because they need to know how many bullets are still in there. You will see this leads to a good end, but it's a little shocking. No, they need, I asked one hunter to view me, because I wanted to explain to the Hare Krishna movement where this is used. They have dogs who are supposed to bring the dead creatures to them, and they need to control them. Because some dogs are fools, they don't find them. They get the fool dogs away. Other dogs are rascals. They find them, but they hide them to eat them later on themselves. So they need to... This same instrument was used yesterday by Jamaras. Counting for one's own. The reason why I say this is you have to do a little japa reform now if you want the japa retreat to work for you. And I can guarantee you, if you are willing to do this and do away with bad japa habits, you will experience what Kuvalishaya experienced. That, my God, it's haunting me. You know, remember, he was over in London, and all of a sudden he saw himself on TV, he saw in the mirror the japa retreat, he heard about worms in his consciousness, you know, and so on. You know. What was your name? You were the same. Yeah, you were the same, yeah. But you for on your personal discovery, the first step you need to do so that the magic works for you and the mystery becomes revealed is you need to sit down with an affectionate respect. I like that very much in the theater play, how Japarasa and Kuvalishaya Vishwakarma, who sat before the deities, you know, knowing this. The name is identical with Krishna. This is the first thing. You need to take this time off. It's not my speculation. It's all from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Step two. Concentrate on one mantra. This is the point. This is what Puri Jam Prabhu, he teaches basically this in his japa retreats. And the way to easily do this, to chant, to concentrate on one mantra, is when you enter through the first hari. Because if you miss it on the first hari, then maybe you catch up somewhere, but then you have only half the mantra. So you want to have the whole mantra. Therefore, it's just a trick for the mind to bring it on the first hari. And my dear devotees, do you know one thing? When you give your mind something to do in japa, he will become peaceful. And give him something to do which is authorized. Give him not some iPhone business to do, but some the first hari, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And after some time, you will be in the flow of the river, and then forget about concentrating. Very important. Very important. Then allow yourself, allow the mantra to work. But before the mantra can work, you must be with the mantra. If you're not with the mantra, if the mantra is somewhere there and you are thinking of Japan or anything, you know, your shopping list, it is disconnected. But the moment you have done this, after some time that you do this concentration technique, you are somehow, the mind is connected with the mantra. Then let go. Let yourself be carried by the mantra. And you will see, it will be something like a prayer for chanting. That was the second step. The third step is from time to time, concentrate on the meaning of the mantra. Why? Because the meaning of the mantra is a prayer. Prabhupada says it's the only prayer we have. And the prayer will engage your heart in the process. Bhakti is a process which of the purified heart. You must engage the heart. And the heart speaks to God in prayer. The heart speaks to God in prayer. So if you want that you chant the holy name from the heart level, it has to be a prayer for chanting. And that's why you concentrate on the essence of this prayer. My dear Radha, my dear Krishna, please engage me in your service. From time to time, become aware. This will help you to revive your heart. These were 1, 2, 3 steps. What was step 1, please? Yes. Step 2. Yeah. And this concentrating over mantra is easily done with the first hari. Huh? It's like the entrance door. What I like to think about, because I just like Vrindavan, I can't help myself. And there, why is Vrindavan so sweet? Because Radharani is there. And Radharani controls everything in Vrindavan. Everything moves, the trees bends according to Radha's order and so on. So Radha gives those devotees who search for Krishna in the land of Vrindavan a special Shakti to find Krishna. She asked Krishna, imagine after the Rasa dance, Krishna came back after he had, you know, first Krishna felt, oh, I'm with all these gopis, but I'm not with my Radha. So he signaled with his eyes to Radha. Radha first left the Rasa dance, then Krishna left and found Radha at a point in the forest where they were together. But then Krishna left Radha. There are many reasons. I won't go into the reason. So then there was no Radha in the Rasa dance and no Krishna. That means no Rasa dance. So all the other gopis started to see where are Radha and Krishna. They went to search, and the first thing they found was on the floor of Vrindavan, they found some being who looked like a flash of light which had fallen from the dark monsoon cloud. on the ground and was lying there. Who was this? You know everything. Srimati Radharani was lying there. And she was crying so much for Krishna who had left her that all the gopis fell. Oh no, this misery is breaking our hearts. A moment before they had thought, we want to be with Krishna. But now they only had feelings for Radha. Oh, let Krishna come for Radha. Radha is suffering intolerable pains of separation. And they all went, they took Radha, who was helpless in the separation from Krishna. And they became inspired by Radha's mood, which was so much yearning for Krishna, that they all listened to this, it's so beautiful. They went to the bank of the Jamuna. They sat down in the sand of the Jamuna and they engaged in Nam Sankirtan. They all chanted together the names of Krishna. So that finally Krishna, when he was convinced, when he was caught by the eagerness of the devotees, Krishna came from the forest and he had his shawl in one hand because he wanted to show the gopis, look, I have left you, but not in spirit. Look, yes, look at me. And they looked at him. And uncovered by any scarf, because Krishna was carrying his scarf here and there, they saw the garden which they had made with their own hands for the Lord. Oh, be careful. He has carried the weight of the garden. He has not put it down. Good. No. So they felt happy by this sign of Krishna as he was exposing his beautiful chest, carrying the handmade garland of the gopis. As a sign that I care for you. And then he said, my dear gopis, you who do not know my real intention, don't think I have left you out of so many reasons. I sometimes disappear from those who chant and do other processes. He said, those who do my Naam Bhaja, I disappear. But not to go away from them. I do this to increase their longing for me. So I hope, really, that you understand this point and that you, when you return, sit down in order to and address Krishna with longing. I was at this Japa retreat. Now I'm back home in my own little town. And my mind came with me and my bad habits came with me. Then longing and so on. But I really want you now, Krishna. I don't know why I said this. Yes, yes, I said. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit. I'm talking now from my own heart, so there are many things in my heart which are just so many. First, Hari, Radha, then Krishna asked Radha, so I have left you. Now you can ask me any boon. Whatever you want, I will give it to you. Because I have to make good what I do. So Radha said, my dear Praneshwara, Lord of my life, Lord of my prayers, my dear Praneshwara, I only have one desire. I want that all those devotees of you who look for you coming to the sacred land of Vrindavan will always find you. She didn't think of herself. She thought of us, Hare Krishna. Therefore, when you enter the mantra with the first Hari, that's Radha, you get Radha's blessings to be with the mantra. Don't worry. Therefore, by Radha's blessing, everything is possible. Don't doubt this. It is possible. Even everyone can come by your first blessing. Into the mantra. Therefore, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare
Rama, Hare Rama. So encouraging that you know the mantra, but it's about the Hare, you know. Our devotees, goodness, Vashana, then someone starts to chant, Hare Krishna. You are very sympathetic audience. So first Hare, enter through there, get the blessings of Radha, and then you will see something. Because all of you are interested in psychology, I will give you now step 4 and step 5. My dear devotees, if you want to be successful, you need to practice tolerance in your life. Tolerance is a symptom of humility, and even if you are not humble, if you are tolerant, you become humble. I have seen this many times. Yesterday there was a situation in my life where, you must understand, I'm also struggling with my mind like all of them. I'm the son of a professional killer. You know, I'm not a good person. I'm born poor, Nazi Germany. These people, our fathers killed hundred thousands, would probably dead. When I asked my father, please tell me about the history, he just cries and cries. He said, I don't even mention it. It's so bad. You can't. It's beyond comprehension. I go crazy if I remember anything from that time. I am the son of this. These are my genes. I'm not a peaceful person. Yesterday there was a situation. My God. One devotee just drew, and there was a situation where I almost thought, where is the next pistol? to kill myself, not thinking of doing any harm to anyone else, you know. Then I thought, I was just about to say something very arrogant. Those of you who have visited lectures of me know I can say very arrogant and nasty things, distressed in a very kind way. But when you look what it is, the statement is really very arrogant. So I was just about to say something arrogant and then kill myself. I was just so agitated. And then I thought, I need to be a humble person. No, that is what I will tell the devotees tomorrow. I better try now. And the first thing I did is I said, tolerate this now. Then I was boiling inside, but I had this program. Stop. Red, right? Then yellow. What could be a better response, you know, where I don't come and trouble myself by making Vaishnava aparad and then by giving trouble to this poor soul. This was yellow. Mm-hmm. And then I think, what to say? I could not speak. I said, Prabhu, I have something for you. And I went inside. I looked for my favorite sweet. I found it. And I gave it to him and said, this sweet is for you. Then I felt I was slowly becoming, by being tolerant and not acting on the nonsense which was in the head, I felt also I became genuinely humble. And in the end, I even paid my obeisances to this junior devotee who felt totally bewildered. What is he doing? Because I really felt, you are greater than me. You are my guru in tolerance. Mm-hmm. You know, this was really wonderful experience. So you become humble by acting as if you are humble. And if you act as if you are humble, it means you have to be tolerant. You must be tolerant. Huh? This is how you become humble. You act as if you are humble, and that means you must act in a tolerant way. Practice tolerance. And step 5 is seek out proper association. It is very important to have good association. And for that reason, I want to suggest to you something. What we did in Switzerland. In Switzerland, we gave now already, was it part two of the Sacred Space retreat. It's a fantastic retreat which helps one to enter that spiritual space inside where the soul is and where God is. And it goes very nice. The devotees are the people who come there, it's a mixed crowd, are extremely happy. And we suggested to them something which I want to suggest to you. He suggested, why don't you meet after the retreat, sometimes, somewhere, and you discuss how it goes for you, how the exercises which you learned work for you, how you actually act on the platform of being an eternal soul, the part of Krishna. And they do this, and they have phenomenal results. They inspire each other. So I would like to request to you one thing. We are trying in our movement to start a retreat culture. A culture where devotees become more internal and spiritually potent. There are several devotees who do this. I know Gurijan Prabhu, Radhanath Maharaj is also doing retreats. Giriraj Maharaj, a very good friend of mine, and many others. We are trying to do this retreat culture where devotees really take something with them and they practice the things outside of the retreats and their own personal discoveries. So my humble request is that you stay in contact with the friends which you have made. Maybe on email, maybe on Skype. Yeah, Skype is also there on the computer. I have also used it at times. It is a very good form of communication. It's a little expensive, I think, Skype. What? It's free. Wow, really? Imagine, Krishna, even you can talk for free for to interesting people, then you are not limited to anything. You are unlimited. And the talk is available. You know, internet is free talk. I'm learning. You can Skype. No problem. Do something which will help you to stay on track as you go. Proper association. Or, you know, I'm an old timer. I like to eat. I like to meet real people and then eat real food. I mean, on Skype you can just say, here I've made this pizza. on the other side of the. Oh, yes, it tastes really good. I wish that you are here and could eat it with me. So some things cannot be done by Skype. So careful, please meet. This is what I want to say to you today. All what I'm saying is comprised in one word: personal discovery. That is the essence of what I would like to tell to you. Make your own personal discovery, please. That is our most humble request. It will, and you will see, then when you do this, the retreat will come alive for you. You will remember many things on your path. They will start to speak to you, these many things. They will be like your teachers, these many things. These many things will not will stay with you for a long time to come, but please do this personal discovery. And I have a surprise for you. There's nothing more rewarding than personal discovery. I want to conclude with a little thing for my life. You know, when I was a child, my parents did a wonderful work to educate me. They really loved me. They really loved me. I don't know why, because I was a difficult boy, but they liked me very much. And we had Easter holidays, and we had to look for sweets and find them under the sofa and here in some difficult place. My mother is very intelligent for difficult places. And I always asked her, can't we do this every day? You just hide something for me and I have to find it, because personal discovery is so nice. I even as a child was aware. And then we had Christmas, and at Christmas everything was so boring under the Christmas tree. And I severely complained to my mother. I said, why not hide my presents everywhere? And I will look the whole... There is a sense of real ecstasy and personal discovery. It's much better that someone chooses the food for you, gives the food for you. You have to discover the taste yourself. It's much nicer. It's much fresher. It's much more alive. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna! I think MC5, you know. Those who know, know what it is. Okay, that our MCs.
Yeah, we've given her verse before, so I'm a little sad that we are all going back and.